Katie and you're listening to the Home Ed Voices podcast, where I talk to people about their home education adventures and experiences here in the UK. This is episode number 9, and this week I'm talking to Tanya Tucker, Happy Handley on Instagram. We talk about how spending all your time together can be really lovely, and how much more there is to know about your children, plus trying to keep a well-used house working smoothly. So now, on with the episode. This week I'm talking to Tanya from Happy Handley. Hello!
Hello.
How are you doing? Are you all right?
Yes, I'm good, thank you.
Mum, get down the door.
Sorry, my youngest just found a caterpillar, so she's hunting for food.
Ah, right, okay, fair enough. Right, okay, first question. Tell me a bit about your family.
I'm a mum of four, so I have three girls who are 5, 7 and 10. I also have a boy who is 9. And I'm married as well. Hubby works full time. We live out in the sticks in Dorset. Don't know what else to say, really. We've got a couple of pets. Got a dog who's completely crazy. She's nearly 3. And we have 2 guinea pigs.
Uh-huh.
And 3 stick insects. And we now have a caterpillar as well, which has just been found somewhere.
Seems a bit late in the year for caterpillars, really.
It is, and it's a tiny caterpillar as well, so it's not long hatched.
Oh, I wonder where it came off.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. She found it on a toy.
Oh, right, so it could have come from anywhere, really.
It could have.
Right, okay. So how did you start home educating? Why did you start home educating?
Well, my son is diagnosed with autism, and he was really struggling socially in school. Although academically he was, you know, doing really well. So that was him. And then my eldest, she was just really unhappy. We'd moved house, so they'd had a new school. They'd been there for a year. And we just thought there's no point in them being unhappy. And they both came out one Friday, and for various reasons, they're both in tears and really stressed. We said, should we just take you out of school? And they were both really, really sort of excited.
Yeah.
And we said, oh, we'll try it for a year. If after a year, you know, it's not working for whatever reason, then, mm-hmm. you know, we can go back to school.
Yeah.
And that was 4 years ago. So it's been working fine. And so the younger two have never been to school.
Right. So how long were the other two in school for then?
For 10-year-old, she did a year and a term in her first school.
Yeah.
And then she did a year in her second first school.
Yeah.
And then my son just did a year and a term. So not long, just 2 years.
Yeah. And was it something that you kind of knew a lot about before you kind of got to the position where you thought, actually, you know, this would be a better fit for, yeah, at least a better fit for your children who are unhappy in school, kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd always wanted to home educate. But I thought, as lots of parents do, that it had to be school at home. And my eldest has always been quite active and got bored easily. And I thought, there's no way I can teach her in a classroom type environment with younger children as well. So ended up going down the school route.
Yeah.
And then sort of when they started showing that they were unhappy, I did some research and realised actually I didn't need to do school at home. I thought that actually it was much more of a possibility.
Yeah. So did you, because I know on your social media you're an unschooling family, is that right?
Yes, we are.
So did you unschool from the off, or did you feel the sort of the pressure to be more sort of schooly and then, I don't know, kind of find your groove?
Well, I thought we'd be semi-structured, do a bit of sort of, you know, the math, English at the table, and then do sort of more relaxed for the rest of the learning. But took a couple of months to just sort of de-school and get school out of our system.
Yeah.
And I realised how much they were learning by themselves.
Yeah.
Just for their own interests. They'd come and ask me a question and we'd sort of delve into it. And the things they came out with and they'd sort of progressed in just a few short months of not really any formal structured learning, and that sort of sold me really onto unschooling.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's really interesting because, you know, on your Instagram feed and stuff, it's really nice. There's, you know, there's photos of, like, them deciding to do maths, you know, like, in bed, at bedtime yes. kind of thing, and things like that. And it's like, I think people from the outside don't realise that learning happens all the time. Like, even if you have, like, you know, in our family, we do table work, which doesn't take very long, but it just ticks a few boxes for us. But that's, like, that's just a tiny percentage of actually their learning experience through any given day.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you don't switch off, you don't clock off. I mean, maybe you would say that with homework and stuff, you don't clock off in school, but you don't, with home education, you don't clock off. They might be learning right up until the point at which they fall asleep kind of thing. And then wake up and do it all again the next day, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they've all got different learning patterns as well. For example, she's always been a night owl ever since she was a baby. And so I found that most of her learning seemed to happen in the evenings. And even now, she goes to bed and I'll go in sort of sometimes 10 o'clock at night and she'll still be there with her pen and paper doing drawing and writing down stories and things quite late at night.
Yeah.
And that's just the way her brain works. Whereas, you know, before when she was at school, I'd say, no, you have to be asleep because you've got to get up early. Well, now she doesn't have to necessarily get up early unless we're going out somewhere.
Yeah.
So she can sort of follow her natural sort of body's routine as well.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice.
Yeah, totally. I think it's nice because they get more autonomy to do what kind of works. Yeah, works for them. And if you can't do that when you're small, like, when can you do it, really?
Yeah.
So, home education, what do you love about it?
Probably the main thing is the freedom and the fact that we can spend all our time together. Most people, you know, or lots of parents sort of go, oh, no, I need that. I need a break. But actually, we love spending time together. We sort of do everything just about together, sort of baking. And we've got, I know much more about my children and their interests because of that time we spend together. I think we're closer. The children are closer to each other as well. They're not coming out of school really tired and grouchy and bickering. They play together quite nicely most of the time.
Yes.
They are still siblings and do still fight.
Of course.
But no, they do get on much better and they're really close to each other as well, which is lovely. And I'll find them cuddling up in bed together at night time and things. And it's lovely. We'll spend so much time together.
I think after a while you can kind of get into a groove where there's obvious, you know, it's kind of less managery. Do you know what I mean? If everybody's doing stuff that they're interested in and everybody, you know, and you're following, I don't know, I find that when we're sat talking about things that interest them or learning about, you know, and they're like, oh, what can we find out about this or whatever? Like, I don't feel like I'm not herding them about. Do you know what I mean? And I just get to see them as the people as that they are, rather than as these sort of, I don't know, kind of, rather than a group of sort of, I don't know, like you're just herding your kids around from thing to thing. It's like you just get to hang out with each other and see them for who they really are.
Yeah.
And not just when they're crabby and tired.
Yeah, there's things I've learned. Like, so when my oldest came out of school, I had no idea that she liked history. And it wasn't until we'd sort of gone on a trip one day and she's like, oh, I love this house. And she was really interested in all the sort of Victorian era, the clothes, the everything about it.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to do loads around history that I wouldn't necessarily have known until possibly much later in her life that she really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So it's just nice being able to find out about the way their minds work and follow their interests.
Yeah, totally.
And tailor their educations to them, you know, to each one individually.
Yeah. Yeah, because usually, like, when there's things that they're interested in, they can learn a lot of stuff around that single interest. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you can tie the stuff in, and suddenly that other stuff becomes more interesting because it's tied to, like, you know, the core thing they're interested in, kind of whatever it is, really.
Yeah.
So what's been the hardest part?
Keeping up the housework, probably.
Yeah, home educating households are very used houses.
They are. it's just trying to find time to fit it in.
It's really hard, and there's always a million one things which are more interesting to do.
Yes.
What have you found that makes that easier? Have you found anything that makes that easier?
I do try, and sort of first thing in the morning, I'll get any washing up done, put on a load or two of washing sort of as early as I can, get out of the way, quick whiz around the house with a, you know, brush and a cloth. And then before husband gets home, I'll give the lounge a quick whiz round, just, you know, put away toys and tidy up any paints or things that have been used during the day.
Yeah.
So sort of a quick sort of, and then probably at a weekend when hubby's about, as I'll do sort of a deep clean in a room somewhere.
Yeah.
And trying to do it that way, but, you know, it doesn't always work.
There's somebody else I did an interview with who calls it the daddy dash, which is like the half an hour before they know they're coming home. It's like, oh, come on, let's make everything look a bit more presentable. Let's, you know, let's show we actually made an effort. And I find if I don't do something like that, my husband will just come in and he'll start doing it in a kind of, well, it needs to be done. You know what I mean? And it's like, don't tidy up. You weren't doing them. You weren't making the mess.
Yes. We have the same, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I saw recently, I saw Julie Bogart had reposted a blog post from a few years ago, which I will stick in the show notes. And the first, it was like, something like 9 tips for homeschoolers that you didn't ask me for, or something like that. But the first one was, in the morning, fill your sink full of water and just bring all of the dishes that are around the place. So whilst you're home educating, everything is soaking. And
yes.
I was like, oh, I'm on that. I'm doing that one. Because usually otherwise everything just sort of piles up during the day and then it's all dried on. I'm like, oh, it's been such a harder job. But it's sitting there waiting to be started actually feels a lot easier. So what is the typical day? Is there a typical day in the life? And if there is, what is it?
Not really. Every day is completely different. We do have a sort of a loose structure to our week. So I mean, mornings tend to be quite relaxed and chilled unless we've got to dart out the door for a visit somewhere. The children quite like to have something hot for breakfast, whether that be, you know, pancakes or eggs or something. They quite often want something sort of cooked, which was, you know, something they couldn't really do when they were at school. Then we sort of, Mondays, we normally will go out and maybe go to a park somewhere, visit my mother-in-law, do swimming lessons.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, we quite often, I run a home ed group, so we'll go along to that one. We were there today and did some stuff with that Roald Dahl. Mm-hmm. That was quite fun.
Yeah.
Then Wednesdays tend to be sort of a more chilled day, unless there's a planned visit somewhere. We might go and visit my parents or my sister-in-law, because she's just had twins, so we're going to see her.
Excellent.
Fridays, we tend to go up into the forest with a group of home educators. The kids get some sort of outdoor wild play. And then obviously in between that we fit in baking and cooking and science experiments, reading books.
I think it's always the groups and the, not classes, but you know what I mean, like the meetups and all of this kind of thing and the events and things that kind of end up being, they're like the big rocks in the week and everything else just sort of like, you know, fits around them kind of.
Yes, so we do quite a lot, and the two young girls especially like to do lots of arts and crafts and messy play.
Yeah.
Sometimes stick them in the bathtub with a kind of shaving foam, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Excellent. So what's going on for home educators in your area?
Loads.
Yeah.
Far too much to keep up with. I mean, just regular groups. There's sort of, there's science, there's parkour, there are swimming lessons, fencing and archery, There's regular park meets, ice skating, dance lessons, cookery clubs. And they're just the regular ones without all the sort of one-off trips to museums or the science centre or some historical building somewhere. We couldn't fit everything at all.
Do you have any sense of how many, sort of roughly how many people you think are home educating in your area?
Yeah, I know there's one meetup in the summer, and there can be sort of 200 families.
Wow.
And that's just one meetup.
And you would think that's going to bring a lot of people, but not necessarily everybody, because not everybody can, can always meet, kind of be available and whatever.
Yes, that's the biggest meet I know of.
Right.
We've been to meet a few times, and there's been sort of 30 odd families. So they're quite big meets as well.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily we're in sort of quite a central point, as in there's groups dotted all around, and we can sort of flip to different groups of people.
Yeah.
And so we actually know lots of different areas from where we are.
Yeah.
Do you have any resource recommendations for other home ed parents?
Pinterest.
Yeah.
Pinterest is my go-to. If the children want to learn about anything, I automatically go to Pinterest for any ideas. And from there, I can kind of build on it and whatnot. But I think that's my favourite resource, to be honest.
Is that particularly looking for, other activities that people have already put online and things like that? Or
yeah, there's so much. Sort of, it can direct you off to different websites. You just put in what you're interested in.
Yeah.
And there's, you can find bits all over the place. So for today's home ed group, I wanted to do about Roald Dahl because it was Roald Dahl Day last week. So I just typed in Roald Dahl in the search, and it came up with things on Activity Village that I could print off. It came up with ideas on crafts, and all sorts of things. And I sort of just pick and choose bits that sort of would fit our little group.
Yeah.
And I think it's great as well for science experiments. Just type in science for kids, or explosive science or something. You'll come up with things you think, oh, why didn't I think of that?
I was going to say, the thing about Pinterest is Pinterest in particular, but I think just the internet in general, it's you have this hive mind. So you don't have to come up with everything yourself. Everyone's coming up with their little bit. And even if you're not actually adding content, you get to kind of, you get to pick and choose out of everyone else's ideas. It's great.
Yes.
Do you have any book recs for read-alouds or for kids or whatever?
I don't know. My youngest at the moment is really enjoying the Julia Donaldson books, especially there's a woodland collection. Animals, and she's liking those.
Mm-hmm.
And my second youngest, she likes the flower fairy books, anything girly.
Yeah.
Then my son, he prefers sort of more factual books. So we have books like the Guinness Book of Records, mm-hmm. and he'll sit. And he finds those sort of books really interesting. And I look through them with him and I go, I'm really bored. That's not a book at all. But he loves finding out facts.
Yeah.
And then telling everybody these facts he's found.
Of course. In fact, actually, we were looking up on, we sometimes watch some of the Guinness World Record stuff on YouTube. And because of a Judy Moody book we were reading, it was talking about the world's biggest pizza, which obviously we then had to go and look up and watch a video of. So it was massive. I still don't know how they cooked it. And they didn't tell you. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you online?
I am Happy Handley everywhere, just about. So Instagram, Facebook, my blog, Pinterest, all Happy Handley. And Twitter, I am Happy Handley 1, because somebody else got there first. But yes, I thought I'd make it nice and easy. I am the same everywhere.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, thank you very much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And there you go. If you want to find out more about any of the things we talk about in this episode, or to leave a comment, please go to the show notes of the blog at learninginanoxfordkitchen.co.uk and click on the link to the Home Ed Voices podcast, or follow the link on Instagram at Home Ed Voices podcast, or Twitter, Home Ed Voices. This is episode 9. If you want to support the show, please rate and review at Apple Podcast, as it helps more people find out about it. The Home Ed Voices podcast is an independent production and is created, hosted and produced by me, Katie Hanrod. The podcast theme tune is Hope for Tomorrow by C-Stock. You can subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, or anywhere else where podcasts are found. I'll be back with episode 10 in 2 weeks, and until then, here's to more Home Ed adventures.